Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Follow Your Path. My name is Abdul Abid, and I'm a surgical pathology fellow at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. And today, we will be talking to Dr. Joe Chaffin. He is a transfusion medicine educator at the Department of Pathology at Loma Linda University, and he's also a creator of the Blood Bank Guy website and Blood Bank Guy Essentials podcast. Welcome to the show, Dr. Chaffin.
Thank you, Abdul, and please call me Joe. That's much easier, fewer syllables, and easier to pronounce. So, thanks so much for having me. It's such an honor.
That's wonderful. Joe, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and you went to medical school and did residency?
Sure, happy to. I am a native of the fabulous community of Detroit, Michigan. I was born and raised just outside of Detroit, and spent most of my youth there, a little high school in Florida, but went to medical school at Loma Linda University out here in Southern California, where I live and actually practice now. Graduated forever and ever ago from Loma Linda, it feels like. It's kind of a weird phenomenon to come back to the place where you went to medical school and become on the other side of things and be an educator there. So I feel really blessed and fortunate to be back here at Loma Linda. But at any rate, I was blessed enough to be sponsored through medical school by the United States Army. So after I finished med school at Loma Linda, I spent 9 years on active duty in the Army. 5 years of that was pathology residency. I've been around long enough that pathology was a five-year residency at the point where I went through. The first year was actually, and I actually just want to point this out. My first year to me was an enormous blessing because the Army at that time did not allow people to go directly into pathology residency, because they had potentially other uses for us, right? They wanted us to be prepared to go out into a war or whatever. And I was actually I graduated from the Army right around the time that the first Gulf War way back in 1990 was starting. And so my first year was a clinical transitional internship year. And the truth is that year, which I spent in San Francisco at dearly departed Letterman Army Medical Center, it shaped the rest of my practice and the rest of my career, Abdul, in ways that I didn't really appreciate at the time. I was kind of complaining, why do I have to do this clinical medicine thing? I have to rotate on orthopedics again. Are you kidding me? I did this as a medical student. And I did all that stuff, spent time doing hem-onc, spent time, you know, as an intern. So it was just brief moments of time. But it really, as I said, shaped the rest of my career in pathology, because once I went into pathology and spent 4 years at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C., doing clinical pathology residency, what I realized was that the experiences that I had had as a clinician, if you will, quote unquote, because I was an intern, as I said, but the experiences that I had doing that shaped me as a pathologist. It helped me understand these things that I'm saying, these things that I'm writing on a surgical pathology report, these things that I'm saying to people when I'm consulting in transfusion medicine or microbiology or whatever in clinical pathology, this has impact. This has real consequences and real meaning to the people that are on the receiving end of this. And I think for me, it was the best thing that I could have ever done, was to spend an extra year doing clinical work before I went into pathology, because it really helped me understand exactly how to be a better pathologist and communicate better to clinicians. And I think it's also partly, Abdul, what helped me on my road to transfusion medicine. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but the interplay of clinical, the clinical direct day-to-day, clinical day-to-day direct patient care, along with what goes on in the laboratory, is kind of what drew me to transfusion medicine. Again, I know we'll say more about that in a minute, but after I finished my residency at Walter Reed, I was, this was a time, again, this is a long, long time ago, when not everybody did fellowships, right? And the Army wasn't terribly interested in having people go out and do fellowships after their residency at that time. So I was fortunate enough to stay on at Walter Reed after I graduated to move into the role of transfusion medicine director at Walter Reed. I spent 4 years doing that. The rest of my time in the military was at Walter Reed doing transfusion medicine, and I was teaching. I was practicing both surgical pathology and clinical pathology, with a focus on transfusion medicine. And it dawned on me about 2 years in that the American Board of Pathology was about to close a window that a lot of your listeners will never have heard of, which is that you could take a subspecialty board without having a fellowship. Basically on-the-job training. If you had 2 years of on-the-job training, you could take the subspecialty board at that time. And that window was closing right when I was finishing my second year being a transfusion medicine physician, among other roles at Walter Reed. So I said, well, why not? I'll take it. And I was fortunate enough to pass it. So I'm one of the old school people that actually can say I'm practicing something that is near and dear to me and that I hope I have a little bit of expertise in, but never had a fellowship in it. So I'm blessed to have been able to do that. My career took a lot of twists and turns since then, Abdul, and that's in large part because I just get bored doing one thing all the time. I've practiced in a wide variety of settings in pathology. I have been in academic places. I have been in private practice. I have done forensics for a time as a part of another practice, part of a surgical pathology practice. I have worked in independent standalone blood centers over the years. I've practiced in Washington, D.C., a long time in Colorado, for the last 10 years or so out here in Southern California. And so I've kind of spanned the gamut of a lot of different things that you can do in pathology, and I feel really blessed to be able to share some of that with my residents. And I think it's, again, it hasn't been necessarily always the greatest thing for my family when I'm like, I think we need to move again, and my wife's like, really? she's a saint, trust me on this. But as I said, having that wealth of experience in a lot of different areas has helped me in terms of being a better mentor to some of my residents in terms of what they can do in pathology.
Oh, wow. That is a fascinating story. So just a few more questions about that. Were there any particular mentors? Like, how did you start into the journey into transfusion medicine? Were there any particular mentors or experiences that drew you towards this, other than, yes, your clinical experience that you had before your residency?
Well, I think that it goes back in a lot of ways to what drew me to pathology, Abdul. And that was that when I was rotating in medical school through all the different clinical rotations that I had, I realized fairly quickly that while I loved the interaction with patients, and still do to this day, I love the whole process of figuring out what's going on with a patient. I love the actual day-to-day patient care aspect of things. And so I was very drawn to virtually every area of medicine that I rotated in. I loved internal medicine. I loved parts of surgery, not necessarily all of them, but I love parts of surgery, so that is what it is. And I adored obstetrics. Obstetrics was my favorite thing that I did during medical school. It was wonderful. But what I realized fairly quickly is that I'm a really emotional person, and I am not cut out for dealing very well with when things go badly for patients. And it was very difficult for me to let go of those scenarios, where if something didn't go well for a patient, I took that very personally and very to heart. And I realized that in order to get past that, I would have to change who I was. And I didn't want to become something, and this is no slam on people that take care of patients on a daily basis. But for me, I couldn't do it. So when I got into my pathology residency, I was really kind of shocked when I got to my second rotation in my first year, which was a 3-month block of transfusion medicine. And my mentor, you had asked about mentor, my mentor was a gentleman by the name of Rick Giangiarusso, who was the transfusion medicine physician during my entire residency at Walter Reed. And Rick showed me really quickly just how much there could be an interplay between the laboratory and the day-to-day clinical care of patients in transfusion medicine. And I frankly fell in love. I loved it from the first day that I did it, and that's really never stopped. And I think what he brought to me is showing me that interplay and showing me that, you know, that pathologists don't just have to be in the laboratory. In fact, we probably work better when we get out of the laboratory and we're actually out there helping people take care of patients on a daily basis. So that's a slightly long answer to your short question. But yes, I would say Rick Giangiaruso among many, many, many others over the years who have influenced me.
Oh, that's great. So again, it is kind of a similar thing that I wanted to ask you. So in your opinion, what makes transfusion medicine a unique specialty? If you had to pitch it to a medical student or an incoming resident, what would you say?
Yeah, I think I've probably previewed that a little bit for you in my previous answers, but I think it is one of the more unique subspecialties in pathology, in that if you are open to the idea of doing something other than or in addition to what people think of when they think of pathology. I mean, you know this, Abdul, as well as anybody. When people traditionally think of pathology, they think of surgical pathology. That's what we're known for, right? We're known for being people that are, that are doing the biopsies, that are doing the frozen sections, of course, the autopsies to the rest of the world, but whatever. But when people think of pathology, they think of the anatomic or surgical pathology side. And I did too, frankly. My older brother is a pathologist. I won't tell on my brother, but he's several years older than I am. He's an anatomic and clinical pathologist, but he's subspecialist in cytopath, and loves it, and it's wonderful. But that's really all I had been exposed to before I started my pathology residency. Once I got into my residency, and as I said, and I started realizing that there was this whole clinical pathology side that not many people talked about, it gave me permission to think about doing something else. And don't get me wrong, I love SurgPath too. And I did surgical pathology for 15 years after I graduated. I did a combination of surgical pathology, general surgical pathology, and transfusion medicine. And I love it. It's a blast. But during my residency, I realized that I wanted to focus on transfusion medicine because A, it gave me the opportunity to have those day-to-day clinical interactions that I really craved and missed from my time as a clinician. And B, it gave me, I think I felt like it gave me more opportunities to move in the direction of education. And education is something that I am incredibly passionate about. And I realized that early in my career as well, that the being able to educate the next generation was something that I was incredibly passionate about and that I really, really, really love to do. So the unique thing about transfusion medicine is that there are so many different things that you can do, Abdul. We would have to have a longer episode for me to tell you about all of them, but just in general, what makes transfusion medicine unique is that there are multiple different pathways you can go down, depending on your personality, depending on what really revs you up and what you really like to do. For example, there is the kind of the traditional thing that people think about when they think of blood banking, which is hospital transfusion service work, primarily in academic centers where all you're doing is transfusion medicine. And that's great. A lot of people do that. I've done that. There are a lot of different responsibilities and areas in hospital transfusion medicine that people can go down. You can further subspecialize in things like cellular therapy or HLA or stem cell collections or tissue banking. Again, in addition to just the regular everyday transfusion medicine work. So that's one pathway. There's the blood center pathway, which is the where a physician is working in a blood center, primarily concerned with the supply side of things, getting blood collected, managing donors and blood donor reactions, helping make sure that you're living up to all the expectations that the FDA has for you, managing the processes and overseeing the processes of getting the blood from the stage of collection all the way until it's issued out to the hospitals. And in many cases, consulting with those hospitals on how the product should be best used. So again, hospital transfusion service work, blood donor center work, and then there's kind of a hybrid of the two, if you will. And I've done all of these where for example, you're in private practice and you're doing surgical pathology, but you have your expertise in transfusion medicine and you serve as the group expert, if you will, in your private group for transfusion medicine. You help oversee those areas and again, be a kind of a consultant for the rest of your practice. And then of course, the fourth one is industry, and there are many jobs in industry for people with transfusion medicine expertise. Again, a lot of different opportunities to expand on every one of them would take a while. But the point is, it's a really varied specialty. There's a lot you can do and a lot of fun stuff that you can do, that, in my opinion, anyway.
So just a small supplementary question. So you have worked in academia, you have worked in private practice, you have also done combined. Which one was your favorite? Mm-hmm.
That's a really good question. I think it's hard to say for sure because I've really enjoyed all of them, and I know that's a weaselly answer to your question, which is a good one. As I said, I enjoy most things that give me the opportunity to educate people. That's, as I said before, that's my passion. Probably the academic practice where I'm able to interact with residents, but there are certainly things about the purely academic world that I find a little challenging and frustrating from time to time. Academic world comes with its own set of pressures and stresses in terms of publication pressures and promotion pressures and things like that. And I'm not really crazy about that kind of stuff. But the opportunity, anything that gives me the opportunity to educate is something that I'm always going to lean towards.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it shows through your work and your answers. So finally, for anyone, a trainee who could be a medical student or could be an incoming resident, what advice do you have for someone who may be interested in a career in transfusion medicine? Are there any resources other than obviously your wonderful website? And are there any societies that they should join?
Yeah, so absolutely. The first thing I always say to residents, let's back up to the medical student perspective. I think that medical students who are interested in pathology would do themselves a great favor by taking an elective and spending a little bit of time if you're interested in pathology at all, yes, do an elective where you're spending time doing the stuff that, again, people think about. The look, watching the grossing, watching an autopsy, maybe if you're lucky, getting to run the bowel. Woo! I'm sorry, I can't help myself. Doing all that stuff, but make sure that you're not just doing that. Get involved in the transfusion medicine side of things, the clinical pathology side of things. I encourage medical students to experience it, to try it, to think about it. And again, a lot of times it opens people's eyes because it's very different than what people think about pathology in general. Now, once you get into your residency, if it's something that, like I said, for me, within the first day to day and a half of my time on transfusion medicine, I knew that this was something that was going to work for me. It's not always that way for everybody, but if you're interested, attach yourself to the transfusion medicine doc in your program. Become the local expert. Become the one who is the resident who is kind of the go-to person for transfusion medicine. And you can do that by doing extra study, spending extra time during when you have cracks of time in your other rotations. Go and visit the blood bank. Go and talk to them. Have them get to know you. And make sure that the transfusion medicine physician knows that you're interested, knows that this is something that you're potentially wanting to do. When residents have the opportunity to do lectures during the scheduling of the lecture series for your program, whatever that looks like, choose to do something on transfusion medicine. Yes, get involved in research projects, get involved in writing papers, even case studies. There are a lot of, what I see a lot of people doing is writing case studies up for ASCP those work really, really well to kind of get your foot in the door to do things like that. And again, those, if you're a medical student, ASCP is American Society for Clinical Pathology, ASCP.org. Your transfusion medicine docs and really all the docs at your hospital are going to know about that. So ASCP is one potential option as far as the society. The Blood Bank Society is called AABB. They now have a long new name that I'm going to try and get right. It's the Association for the Advancement of Blood and Biotherapies. I think I have that right. And that's AABB.org. It's basically an international organization, primarily the United States, but also international, that residents and medical students can get involved in, can attend in a lot of cases, seminars and meetings for a very, very low price. I don't, and it may, in some cases, may even be free for medical students and inexpensive for residents. But again, there are multiple different opportunities to kind of explore your passion and to see if this is something that's a fit for you. I will say this, Abdul. Pathologists have a reputation, in some cases well-earned, as being somewhat of, I'll put it politely, internal processors, shall we say? Okay, let's just say it. Introverts, right? That's what people think of when they think of pathologists. The pathologists are introverts and more so than any other specialty, and they're dorks and nerds and all that stuff. We hear that all the time, right? Everybody hears that. Transfusion medicine is like any other subspecialty in pathology. And really, let's tell everybody the secret. There are introverts in every specialty, right? It's not just pathologists. But there are, in transfusion medicine, if you find yourself someone who maybe is a little bit more of an external processor, maybe a little bit more of an extrovert, transfusion medicine might be a great fit for you. Yes, there are still people, as in any specialty, some of which skew towards the introvert side, some of you which skew toward the extrovert side. But if you are someone who enjoys more interactions with people outside of the laboratory, transfusion medicine might be just the thing for you.
Oh, wonderful. That's great advice, and I completely endorse this message. And as you can see, you. There are two people who are talking on a podcast, so I mean, I don't know how much introverts are in this room right now.
I honestly, I lean a little bit introverted outside of when I'm not behind the microphone, but I'm not as much as maybe some do.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. That's our show for today, folks. You can find Dr. Chaffin on Twitter. His Twitter handle is @bloodbankguy. And you can also email him through his website. And thank you very much for listening to our show. If you like the show, please like and subscribe our channel on YouTube and Apple. And we'll be back with another episode soon.
Special thank you to our listeners. Until next time, enjoy an excerpt from an upcoming interview with Dr. Monica Pagano.
What I would say is that take the time to explore, because I think the main problem about transfusion medicine is that it's under-recognized or that people is not very familiar with it. So the number one thing is, please don't believe me or don't believe anyone to tell you should do this, because that's not how it works out. Anyone should work. You need to find your path, right? So what I would say is, number one, go and get exposed to absolutely everything and make sure that you spend some time in transfusion medicine, because you will be surprised. You will be surprised about how often, like every day, we work with anesthesia, hematologists, surgeons, and we talk about patients and patient care. Many times we go to the bedside and we talk to patients as well, even for apheresis. The lab will contact you about, hey, this patient is hemolyzing and these are the antibodies that I found. What do you think we should continue doing? How do we prioritize choosing a unit for this patient for transfusion? So definitely you are part of the care team, and I think that's extremely exciting. And again, taking calls is quite manageable. I do find it very interesting. I find it rewarding when you are called and you are able to provide some consultation and help patients or the clinical team. I think that's, again, extremely rewarding.